بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اتبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Today's lecture is about patience, and in Arabic this word we use for the patient is sabr, and I'm sure all of us have heard it many times. So we need to know what it means and what the Quran says about sabr, about patience. And we need to know what is required from us as Muslims when it comes to the term sabr. So some translate it as patience, and it's not wrong, but it's only a part of sabr. Patience is just one small part of sabr. And it's really amazing what extent this word sabr really has. And so it includes forbearance, and it includes endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, restraint. All these terms together make the one word sabr in Arabic. So Allah created us and brought us into existence in order to test us. And the reason we are here is to pass the test Allah has decided to put us through. And we need to be conscious of this at every moment of our lives. And every minute is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to pass it and protect ourselves from failure. And Allah warns us and reminds us to seek assistance through having sabr, which means being patient, practicing restraint, perseverance, and so on. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek assistance through sabr, through patience, through restraining yourselves, and through prayer. So seek assistance to achieving whatever you want, to pass the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seek assistance to do that by having sabr and by engaging in salah, in the prayer. And Allah also says, after this part of the verse, He says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And indeed, it will be very difficult to do that except for those who are pious, those who are humble, and those who will adopt the laws of Allah wholeheartedly. And for them, it will be simple to engage in sabr. Allah also tells us,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ.
O you who believe, seek assistance through having sabr and salah. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. Then Allah says in the end of Surah Al Imran,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
O you who have believed, persevere and endure and remain stationed and fear Allah that you may be successful. So let us now take a look at the types of patience we have. And there are three major types of sabr that we as Muslims are taught. The first is the endurance required for filling the commands of Allah. So everything that is wajib, the prayer, the fasting, etc. This is the first category, having the endurance and the patience to fulfill all these commands. The second is the restraint required in order to abstain from all that which Allah has prohibited. So all these things that we are not allowed to do in Islam, everything that is haram, all the things that Allah doesn't want us to do, having patience and having restraint to abstain, to stay away from these things. This is the second category. And the third category is the acceptance of decree of Allah when a calamity hits us, when something bad happens to us, which all this decree of Allah, His predestination, and having the patience with that. And a lot of people think that only the third one is considered sabr, that when something happens, people say, something bad happens to someone, so we say to him, have sabr, dear brother, or have sabr, dear sister. But it's not only the third category. For example, in order to pray salah, you also need sabr. You need to really endure. You need to give up your sleep and wake up early in the morning, and sometimes the water is cold. So you need to endure all that. And sometimes you need to pray at your workplace, for example, or in university, and you have to endure. You have to have the patience with the looks of people when they look at you in a certain way, or when what they think about you, or when they say something. All that requires sabr. And also, in order to avoid That's the second category, to avoid things that Allah has made forbidden. For example, in order to avoid backbiting, ghiba, you need to have restraint, which is a part of sabr. Because how easy it is to be talking, like when you're in a group of friends or with some people, you know, and you start talking about that, oh, this brother did this, or this guy and girl, they did that. So you need to avoid this, and for doing that, you need sabr. So this is all known as sabr, and also these previous examples is all known as sabr. And in order to accept the decree of Allah, that also requires sabr, to be happy with whatever Allah has decreed for you. And Islam is the only religion that makes it necessary as a condition of belief, if you would like to be a Muslim, that you need to declare that I bear witness and I believe firmly that the fate or the predestination and the good of it and the bad of it is from Allah, and His decree is final, and that you're always content with it. Because if we don't believe in these predestinations, we can't be Muslims. And we believe that good, both good and bad, predestination or fate, one can say, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Islam helps us to live, because this whole life is a test. And Allah promises us that He will test us, and already in advance we have declared that we will not compete with the decree of Allah, and we believe that He is in command, and we play our role, and the rest of it we leave in the hands of the Almighty. So whatever He intends to do and decides to do, we will surrender to that will and that decision. So may Allah make us of those who never question His decree and question His power and His independence and the fact that He is in supreme control. And Allah talks about how important it is to understand that sabr also includes endurance when it comes to the acts of worship. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Maryam, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَعَبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. Lord of the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them, so worship Him and have patience for His worship. Do you know of any similarity to Him? So Allah tells us that you need to be a person of endurance and patience if you want to pray properly. He says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا, and enjoin or command prayer upon your family and be steadfast therein. So may Allah help us all be steadfast when it comes to the prayer. Because for example, praying any prayer, or in particular, for example, praying Salat al-Tarawih, which you pray in Ramadan as the Ramadan night prayer, it's not easy. Especially when it goes on, for example, an hour, it's really easy to feel lazy or to get distracted and start thinking about other things. But when you're a person of endurance and steadfastness, you will be able to focus on the prayer and stand in obedience to Allah, even when it's for longer periods of time. Because you know that the reward for that, it's far greater than the little pain we might have to go through when doing it. So it requires a lot of sabr to engage in acts of worship. And it requires also a lot of sabr to refrain from prohibitions. A person would like to drink alcohol, for example, so he remembers Allah and restrains himself. And that is known as sabr. And for such a person that does it all the time, for that person is Jannah, inshallah. So in order to refrain from prohibitions, it requires sabr. And in order also to do good things, it also requires sabr. But let's now talk about the third category of sabr, which is to accept the decree of Allah when it comes in our direction. We need to learn to say Alhamdulillah when both good and bad comes our way. And in reality, when we look at it carefully, there really isn't anything 100% negative that can happen to a real believer. Because a true believer will see even in the bad things that happened to him or her an opportunity to become closer to Allah. Because when you suffer a loss, it can be a way to become closer to your Creator. Some people never turn to Allah when they live easy life, everything goes smooth. So Allah might want them to raise their hands and turn to Him for once, and He afflicts them with something they see as a calamity, something they see as a trial. But this calamity is in fact a blessing, because this calamity may have been what made them raise their hands and turn to Allah for the very first time in their lives. Or they hadn't done it for a really long time, for months maybe. Because if Allah loves a person, and this person isn't quick to turn towards Allah himself, then Allah might afflict him with a health problem, for example. And because there have been so many people that after suffering from health problems, and after even being close to dying, they turn their lives around, and they turn to Allah, and they become better Muslims. And was that not a chance given by Allah? And was it not a blessing in disguise from Allah? We may have looked at it as a person being close to death, but it was in fact a door by which Allah wanted to get closeness to him. And this is sabr. And may Allah grant us all that kind of sabr. And may He make us of those who turn to Him at all times, even when calamity hits us. So both at bad times and good times. Allah says in Surah Al-Ankabut, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they will be left to say, "We believe," and they will not be tried? But Allah will test us all. Just like when we go to school, in order to get to the next level, we need to enter a test. And the lower level, the lower the level, the easier the test. And the higher the level, the more difficult the test is. But it's only through that test that we can go to another level. We can qualify to pass and reach the another level, reach the next level. And we understand that in the dunya, in the worldly life, when you want to go to university, you have to have a certain certificate of high school or your grades transcript, etc. And only then you can go to another level. So Allah tells us that as He tests you, you will go higher and higher. It has been said very clearly in a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allah idha habba 'abdan ibtalahu." When Allah loves a person, He will afflict him. He will make him go through trials. Same as if in this life you want to have a good degree, or you want to have even several degrees, you want to have more than one degree, you want to have two or three or more degrees from universities. Will they just come to you without you doing anything? No, you have to work for them. You need to work very hard and sometimes spend sleepless nights studying and endure and persevere. And that's how you have that certificate. And the same applies to the certificate of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says He will test us, and also He has informed us that the bigger the test, the bigger is also the reward. So when there's a huge test, something goes really bad in your life, you have big difficulties, whether it's your health or your wealth or anything else, it's because Allah loves you even more only if you endure that with patience. If you endure that with patience, then you can expect big reward for this big test. So Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبَلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. Or do you think that you will enter paradise while such trial has not yet come to you as came to those who passed on before you? They were touched by poverty and hardship. So all these questions are being asked in the Quran. Do we think we say we are believers and we will not be tried? Do we think that we will enter Jannah without having to go through trials? And the same is like, do you think you can go to a university without a prior certificate? No. And may Allah grant us all that understanding. So do you think that you will also enter Jannah without being tested? Only the mercy of Allah can do that for you. So Allah says He will test every single one of us to know who struggles, to know who is patient, to know who is steadfast, and to know who remains grateful and thankful even in the difficult times. So He tests us with different parts, different aspects of our lives. He will give us money to test us, and He will take it away to test us. He gives us children to test us, and sometimes, in some cases, He takes children away from us to test us. And it gives us happiness to test us, and it also gives us sadness to test us. And may Allah, however, grant us ease with these tests. So Allah promises that He's going to test us. And Allah also says in the Quran what He will test us with. He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So he says, and we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient. So Allah mentions five things in this verse. He says, first, He will test us with some fear. You will be scared sometimes. You might have some form of fear of becoming sick or ill, some fear of loss, or maybe you fear for your children, any kind of fear. And Allah tests us with this fear to see if we really rely on Him or if we will rely on everything besides Him, and to see if we are going to complain about Him or not. Because some people, they complain to other creatures about the Creator. They go to their friend or family and they say, you know what Allah did to me? And we don't want to do that. This is the height of ignorance, the peak of ignorance, complaining about Allah to the creation. So go to someone and say, why did this and that happen to me? I can't take this. So may Allah never make us amongst the people who do that. So Allah says the first thing is fear. Then the next thing is hunger. He tests us with hunger, and it can be with drought or a lack of food, or possibly also through the lack of money needed for buying food, or some people being unable to digest certain types of foods. So there are a lot of people who are being tested by them not being able to eat certain types of foods. Because we have some people have, for example, lactose intolerance, some people can't eat gluten, etc. So they are all being tested. That's all a test to see whether a person accepts Allah's decree and he says, I believe and I'm happy with the decision of the Creator. After that, Allah mentioned testing with wealth. He will decrease that wealth and take some of it away from you. He will cause loss in your life to test you and to give you an opportunity to come closer to Him. To give you an opportunity to pass the exam. Allah says that He is with those who have patience. So if Allah did not test you and did not give you an opportunity to be patient, where are you going to get that next level from? Therefore, patience is an act of worship which will make you arrive closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if no calamity comes in your way ever, you would never have been given the opportunity to engage in a huge act of worship, which is patience. So patience is an act of worship. And it is a gift from Allah, and so are the trials and the tests that Allah puts in our ways. And every single one of us is being tested at all times of our lives. So a lot of what is said here today is really relevant to everyone, to all of us. So Allah will test you, and let's say we're talking about wealth now. Let's say you have a factory and it burns down, just to see what you will do. Will you become depressed, or will you be content with Allah and still be thankful to Him for all the countless favors He has bestowed upon you? Or when you lose your job or your car, will you still thank Allah because He is the one who gave it to you in the first place? Or will you turn away from Him and start complaining? So he decided to take it away. You say, Alhamdulillah, qatarallah wa ma sha'a fa'al. I will now get up and start working again to build a new factory, to get a new job, to get a new car, etc. So get back up instead of falling into complaining and depression. Because depression is in some cases a sign of weakness of faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not trying to talk down the seriousness of this depression and it being an actual illness that we can, or state or health issue that we can all find ourselves in. But in a lot of cases, the people who have strong faith in Allah and His qadr, His decree, will not really fall into deep depression, or if they do, they get out of it really fast. And it's much easier for them to deal with it. Because despite all the bad things that happen to them, they are still able to see the good in their lives and be grateful to Allah, even if the if some certain areas of their life have some big issues, or they have many problems or some bad things going on for them. So when Allah has decided something and we can't digest it, then in that particular instance we will probably depress ourselves. But if we are to follow the true laws of Islam, it will lead us to being happy at all times, or at least being content at all times. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ajaban la amru al-mu'min, inna amrahu kullahu lahu khair." How wonderful is the case of a believer? There is good for him in everything. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this applies only to a believer. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ السَّرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If prosperity attends him, he expresses gratitude to Allah, and that is good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ الضَّرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And if adversity, something bad, some trial, some tribulation, some calamity befalls him, he endures it patiently, and that is even better for him. So let us ask ourselves today, are we really true believers in that sense? Because Allah says he will test you in your wealth. So your car will get damaged, or someone scratches it, and it might happen only to see if your heart is attached to your car, or do you understand the plan of Allah? And you overlook and you understand that maybe your anger and temper are being tested right now. And to test your connection with this worldly life. And this beautiful car, whatever nice things you have in your life, they will not come with you to your grave. It won't. And someday you're tested with food. You order a meal, going out and trying to have a really nice time by yourself or with your family. So you order a meal and it gets burnt. It might be just to test if you have patience and understand the gift of Allah and the test of Allah. So will you just smile and say to the waitress or whoever you ordered food from, you just smile and you say no problem? Or will you start shouting at the waitress and demanding a refund of for your 10 or whatever euros? And the truth is, when we do things like that, and these kinds of things are what make us upset, these really small, tiny things, then we really need bigger problems in our lives. Because some people, they lose their temper just when someone cuts them up in the traffic, or they want to go out and they yell at the person or start cursing at him just because they cut him off in the traffic. Or the same example with the food you order. Maybe it's a bit burnt, or maybe they mixed up your order and you got, for example, chicken instead of beef. You ordered beef, but they served chicken by mistake. So are you the kind of person that says, Alhamdulillah, it's not a problem. At least I can afford food. At least my children are not starving. And do you perhaps think that maybe it's a good thing to try something different today? Or are you the kind of person who gets upset and makes a scene out of it, starts yelling at the waitress, etc.? So Allah tests us all. And it can be small tests and it can be bigger tests. But let us all realize that we all need to pass these tests. And when we do that, they really truly become a blessing for us. So may Allah help us all have patience in both big and small tests. And may Allah help us remain thankful to Him at all times and turn towards Him in both times of ease and in times of difficulty. Ameen. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.